to First Edition, second hour NWA Sports Report. Support for the NWA and WEAA is provided by ADT. More information available at ADT.com. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at FirstEdition889, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition. On WEAA 88.9 FM, go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page if you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me. I'll share with the people unless you don't want me to, and of course, I won't do it. Coming up in this second hour, it's all about the NWA. Most of the usual suspects are here or scattered about. We're going to bring them all in. Uncle Perry.
What's up, Yoes?
What's up, Perry? How you doing?
I'm all right.
All right, it's good.
Sound a little down.
Pretty tired.
A little tired.
Hey, happy birthday. Happy birthday to your son, Perry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. He's the reason why I'm a little tired.
I kind of figured that. That's why I said that.
Birthday bash.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can be a busybody.
El Crawford.
What's good, y'all?
Everything's all right. Blanc.
Hello.
All right. Dr. Dre on the inside today.
What's going on, everybody?
You turned this mic extra.
Yeah. Pumped it up a little
bit. Put some bass in it.
A little juice for Dre. Amosa.
Hello.
How you doing?
In full attendance.
Yeah. Just waiting for, you know, Herb. He'll come running through the door in a minute. Let's start, though. So, Peyton Manning. What did Peyton Manning say about Kevin Durant?
That he'll go play on the gymnast. He probably want to go be on the gymnastics team next year, too.
I believe we got the clip.
Yep.
So, you know,
we got the clip?
Yeah.
Oh, let's play it.
And our gymnastics team was so dominant that Kevin Durant told me he wants to play for them next year. I tell you, I don't think he'd start for that team, Kevin. Yeah. Russell Westbrook, what do you think?
So it's all in good fun. It was the ESPYs, right?
But I mean, yeah, Kevin Durant looked like
Durant looked like he was uptight.
Kevin Durant looked like he didn't have a good time with that. I mean,
come on.
I think that's still it's still a salty topic because
he was tight.
Because the thing you gotta think about, I mean, Kevin Durant, he wants to be respected as one of the greats, you know, and
oh, he is.
I mean, he is, but I'm saying that's one of the things that people are going to attack, you know.
That he did.
So that's like took the easy way out. So I think he's real sensitive about that because he feels as like, I guess, you know, Uncle Perry feels that he was the missing piece to this Golden State team.
I agree with Uncle Perry that Kevin Durant was a missing piece on the 73-win team that could not win it without him. I will also say he was the missing link on that team. Also will say that it's funny because in the wake of the funniness that was going on, today kind of sort of SportsCenter put on this thing where they had a one-on-one conversation about the decision he made and his selfishness. And yeah, I do think it'll always be that touchy subject because a lot of people will mask his career about where he went versus how he still finished the job. And it's unfortunate for Kevin Durant.
But here's
he was going to finish the job. It was a 73-win team the year prior.
But he still...
two NBA Finals appearances before that.
They did not win without him?
They won the year before without him. What are you talking about?
Against this Cleveland team that had what they had.
Two straight finals appearances.
Kevin Durant was the defining factor on the 73-win team.
No, he wasn't the defining factor.
He was the man, the MVP, because this year they would not have won it without them, without him. It wouldn't have been, two straight finals losses, blah, 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 wiggity blah.
I mean, he just wants people to respect him for the work that he puts on
off
the court, you know, that he still shows up to practice before everyone, or he still wants to be recognized as that great player that he was at OKC because he really still has that same work ethic. And I feel like that's what he is complaining about.
But you got to learn how to take a joke, bro.
Yeah, facts. Exactly. He was tight.
You gotta, isn't that? I think whoever hosts that show, they do it almost like a, what they call it, a roast.
Yeah, it's
the opening act. You know, the opening act is all jokes.
Everybody, you know, everybody's going to be some type of butt of joke. So you kind of got to just sit there and
roll
go
with the punches.
I mean, because Peyton was—he was joking on himself. I mean, he had skits where he were in a retirement home and he's like an old man. He's washed up. So I mean, you know, you gotta roll with it, KD. But I mean, I understand why he may be frustrated because he's right. He was an integral part of that championship team, and they didn't win it. Who cares about them winning 72 games? Look, I keep telling you, look, 72 or 73, it doesn't matter. it doesn't matter.
It's only 82 games of the season.
I'm with you, Perry. These people are just obnoxious.
I can see if he was a baseball, you only won 73 games, but
he was the defining.
They only beat a record, only 73.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not the great mathematician, but 73 is 82. I mean, that's like what, 9 games?
They only beat a record. They only destroyed a record. It's nothing.
It's only been done once. Walked away with nothing.
It's only been done once in history.
I completely agree with Uncle Perry. But you know nothing. What? To KD's point.
That would be Caronte Hurd.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Mikhail, how you doing?
This is weird. You're my
73
But as you guys know, well, everybody here knows, KD's from PG. They don't take jokes too well.
We gonna play the DC card?
That's not true.
That is
very
true.
Oh, I'm surprised you ain't take the dig. If I joke about the Wizards and that,
you know he got to come back. But he know in that setting he can't fire back. You kind of got to let it rock. I mean, he's not really good at that.
You know, but, I mean, it's kind of like this. If he wouldn't be so salty if he didn't believe some of the stuff people are saying. You know, that's what they always say about jokes.
True,
you know, you get really.
It's always a little bit of truth.
I mean, I don't care how you guys try to shape it up or how you guys try to present it to me. You cannot say that somebody is the missing piece to a 73-win team. I mean, 73 wins signifies that this team is a great team in history. Now, don't get me wrong. Did he contribute to this team and make this team better? Yeah, he did. He's the second best player in the world.
Well, how about this then? He joined a 73-win team that otherwise needed somebody else. They needed another X factor to complete to go over the top to complete the job.
Ramos, they were up 3-1 on this team. So what missing piece was he? He was an add-on, not a missing piece.
Hold up, bottom line, did they win?
No,
they won a year before.
And if you don't ask me,
did they win that year? The 73?
Did they win?
No.
And when that series was over, they kept saying they needed.
And when KD comes, they win. Put him over the top.
Exactly.
No, that was just extra.
But you know, some of them were saying though,
it's not extra if it's the difference between winning and losing. It's not extra.
It wasn't the difference.
It was the difference.
Does anybody care that the Patriots went 18-1 in 2007?
Yes.
Not at all.
No. Yes.
Not at all.
Yes.
Not at all.
Yes, we do.
We know you don't. Put Eli Manning in almost elite category at that point.
But that was one of the greatest. That's still one of the greatest teams in NFL history too. That Patriots. I mean,
they're known as the greatest team in NFL history to not win a championship.
No, no. What people actually talk about is how the Giants had a magical run through the playoffs and upset them and made Eli Manning legendary. Nobody really downgrades the Patriots clowns the Patriots for losing.
What?
No, people don't.
Yes,
no,
they do.
Not for 18-1.
There's still jokes about that today.
No, what people saying it was a great. No, it was a great.
Shoot, they might as well be
great,
like,
one of the greatest. One of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history is what we remember from
it,
that.
It was, but no, they still do Kyle that team for not winning, for not getting the job
back
done.
To Kevin Durant,
because they went undefeated. In the regular season.
Who clowns that? Nobody clowns that team. What people say is Eli Manning is clutch. What I say is that the Patriots got
all the way there and got disinterested and didn't want to play the game and they let somebody else do it.
No, it just takes a lot out of you when you're trying to go for perfection.
Excuses.
No, it's not excuses. It's just what it is.
So the Golden State Warriors weren't tired by the time they got to the final?
No.
They were tired, but you being up 3-1, I mean, you should have completed the job.
What I will say this about Kevin Durant is, and it becomes very unfortunate, and it goes back to the point of how he's against these kind of sort of, you know, jokes to a degree. You know, everybody hoping, wishing, prayed. How can Kevin Durant, he got to win a ring. How can he be so great without getting a ring? We pleaded and wanted him to go to where it was best for him. Now, Kevin Durant, prior to that.
We didn't say cheat to go get one.
Wait a minute. Now, Kevin Durant, prior to
that.
We always,
I like that. Like
you and I always used to have this argument. Kevin Durant. Every time he say something out the blue, we'd be like, oh, let me find out he got some heart. Let me find out Kevin Durant wants to say something.
Right, because the past couple years, he kind of
flipped the switch. And he did the most selfish thing And he said in that interview with Kerry Champion this morning, he did the when he made the decision, he did it for himself, and he did it. He didn't do it to make anybody else happy but himself. He made the most selfish decision in his career,
it wasn't selfish.
And it paid off for him. And it's unfortunate that if he was still in Oklahoma City, or if he would have went anywhere else, who cares that they beat him 24 hours ago? In a league that people can't stand alone, how can you be obscure to the fact that this time thing happened?
We're gonna move on, but let me give Perry the last word. I think he wanted to get in something.
No, I don't understand what Crawford was saying. People view this as that. Look, aren't I a part of the people? I mean, I feel like I'm part of the people.
You
I
don't feel that.
Man, you're a Ravens fan.
I look at it, I don't celebrate 18-1. All we remember is that they lost the championship.
No.
It's the same thing we saw with the Warriors. What we look at that as,
we clown the Warriors.
This is how we look at this whole 73-9 thing.
Okay.
Look at a team that was gunning for 73 wins. They wanted the record so much that they played games that they were supposed to be rested. Look at LeBron. LeBron James took flack from everybody because he rested games. I mean, we always the Spurs. When they were winning championship, when they won the championship in 2014, one of the remedies towards them winning that championship was that they rested their players.
But Perry,
all right.
But Perry,
the Warriors could have rested their players, and a lot of players ended up getting hurt.
But Perry,
players probably wouldn't have got hurt if they weren't so exhausted.
No, Perry,
but what they did is they sacrificed the championship for 73-9.
But Perry, most of the games they set out in the fourth quarter. Like most of those games that year, they didn't even play the fourth quarter, let alone until into the. Yeah, it was. Steph Curry.
No, man, they played. Man.
No, they didn't.
Let's be real. If Kevin Durant wasn't on this team, they would have went two straight finals appearances and would have lost it. Kevin Durant, I don't care what you say, whether or not he was supposed to be here or not, he was the defining factor of what placed them over the top. Period.
He was the black card.
Yeah,
period.
I say, maybe that.
They don't win this championship without him.
Oh my goodness!
They would have lost.
They could have won the championship without him.
They didn't, but they did.
But did Kyrie ever play in that? Did Kyrie and Kevin Love play in that first one that the Warriors win?
No.
No, exactly. So that's the reason why they won.
Did Draymond Green play in game? What was it?
He missed one game.
What was it?
It was a closeout.
And that was the game one that they said was the turning factor.
It was a closeout.
Game five was the turning point when he got the suspension.
Didn't Andrew Bogut get hurt?
Let's move on.
Lonzo
Ball, stellar summer league performance, 35 points. 8 rebounds, 11 assists.
I've never seen so much hype over summer league. Oh my gosh.
That's what Sean just said.
And the one game that I wanted to see was him against the Kings with him against De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. And we didn't see it.
He was hurt.
Well, he was hurt. I mean,
allegedly.
He
was hurt.
So that's the only game he missed.
But then come back and score 36.
We rest in summer league games?
Yes. Sometimes the body needs a little bit of rest.
And you have something 19. To prove, Mr. Laker. Come on.
He's 19.
He's 19. What are you resting for?
He's 19.
However,
he hasn't played college.
Let the young boy rest.
Him resting.
Slow down, young boy.
Now, Markel got hurt.
Him resting got him over the top. It was the missing piece.
He got hurt.
Y'all are crazy.
That's what he did.
This is crazy.
But more excuses.
I think somebody was scared.
But to be honest, the summer league is important to a certain extent. I mean, this is where you can see, you know, real basketball watchers watch the summer league to see the guy's ability. When you see, you know, why he was picked number two. Mm-hmm. And what he showed last night was basically why he was the number two and considered, you know, for the number one. I mean, you saw amazing passes. You saw clutch and ones. You saw him lead a team. So, like, all those things makes Magic Johnson and them clap and stand up and, you know, have their little champagne glasses out and say, I think we got
one.
Because you know, I mean, as you know, other people, you know, we watch other people go through the summer league and they don't look so good.
That's
you know?
Beautiful. Sure, but sure. Who are they playing? That is a top echelon. Like, who is he guarding?
It's summer league.
Exactly. So it's not like he's guarding another guard that's bigger than him, being in the league longer
than
him.
I'm saying.
I mean, not to mention, it's not like he's doing anything that's like out of the blue. He's playing against guys that's coming into the league just like him. It's like us meeting new freshmen. When you went to Morgan, it's another freshman you meet.
I think somebody in that organization was scared.
No.
And that's why they sat him out.
No, he just got he's getting a feel of real NBA competition.
So
that's
why
what it, that's
play
what it
against
is.
Fox?
He had to rest. He got it was a little injury.
He had to rest.
In lieu of injury.
No, how they were scared because they seen what Fox did to him in the tournament, and they want to see that happen again.
No, they're not scared. They're not scared because he's going to face him in the regular season.
How come he ain't play then?
He's not scared.
How come he ain't play?
He's not scared.
I'm not saying necessarily Ball. I'm not saying necessarily Ball was scared. I'm saying somebody. I'm
saying. And that's the thing. I saw he wasn't wearing his shoe. Not wear your own shoe and you wear Nikes. And not to mention, LeBron James, people out, he put him on Twitter. Just do it.
I mean, hey.
I thought that was very Perry, subliminal. Where are we going with this big ball of blame?
Perry, where are you going with it? What do you think?
No, I mean, I think, first of all, I don't think he's ducking somebody that he's going to have to play four times on the regular season anyway.
I don't think
that's the case. And everybody, we only remember the last time that they faced each other, De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball in the NCAA tournament. We don't remember the time that they faced each other in the regular season. Lonzo Ball had a very good performance against De'Aaron Fox. So I think it's typical when you're a young guy.
You play two or three games. Fade away.
Uncle Perry, we losing you, buddy.
He's fading away.
You play four or four games.
Perry, we're losing you, man.
Perry, camping.
You know,
that's sprint. That's sprint for you.
Back to the paint.
Hey, can you hear me now? Good.
Hello?
Yeah. You were fading out. You were fading out, Perry, for a minute. You just came back into the paint, but we appreciate it.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you can. Yes, good. You got you, Perry. You got you.
No, but if it's about a pressure thing, if you want to see how this young man performs under pressure, you think he's going to get that type of pressure facing De'Aaron Fox, how about we give him some kudos for the pressure that he faced while playing with LeBron James, front and center watching him? And we know LeBron James got some stuff with him, okay? He was ready
shot.
To
no,
hate
that's
on
all
him.
It is. It's
I agree.
He's ready to hate on him, all right?
He
went out there and scored 36, and he tried. He still tried to hate. Because, first of all, now I don't understand that. First of all, look, off the court, I love LeBron James, all right?
What?
You ain't got a lot, man. You ain't got a lot, Perry.
This is crazy.
Is this breaking news?
Listen, because look. This dude is about his business. He's about the advancement of business for us brown people, okay? All right, us brown skin folks. All right? So why would you hate on the young man that has his own personal brand and try to throw something out there like Just Do It with Nike and all of that? First of all, this dude, Lonzo Ball and his father, they're changing the entire landscape of the NBA, not only on the court, but off the court. Okay, not only we see this young man changing the game because he's making it contagious, he's making it popular to want to pass the ball again, but now we're also seeing something we've never seen before from anybody off the court, where a star player can have his own shoe and can still wear whatever he wants. He's not contractually obligated to wear Nike, or like James Harden, who has a $200 million contract with Adidas. You're not. I'm sure James Harden would love throwing some Jordans every now and then. He might want to wear the Kobe's every now and then. He can't. All right, this young man can wear whatever he wants because his signature shoe he owns. All right, he's independent. So if he decides, hey, I want to go out there and play with Mamba mentality, I want to play like Black Mamba, like Kobe, I want to throw the Kobe's on, I can do that.
Are you trying to be
I
the
want
next
to wear the LeBrons, I can
in
do that.
LA
if
since
I want to
Kobe.
Wear the retro Jordans, I can do that. Can't nobody stop me because I'm my own boss.
I mean,
this should be something we should be saluting, man.
You mean your father's your own boss?
I mean, Perry.
We turn it down, man. I don't understand the zombie effect, yo.
What are
you asking me for? I wear Pumas. Suede shots.
Because you're your own man.
That's
right.
And Nike Air Force Ones, OG style, yo. You know, I just think it's funny that you were like, you know, LeBron James got some, you know, he got some stuff with him.
Like he just came to the
you
thing.
Know he do.
You know, he's trying to, he was trying to clown him.
He was trying to hate on the man. And what did he do? He rose to the occasion, yo. Yeah. You got to give this kid, this dude is going to be special, man.
All right.
Seriously.
I mean.
We all need to sit back. Look, now, I'm not one of these blind, like, I'm not like everybody was LeBron James. He was already trying to give him the crown. Back in 2002, before he even played, he came in the league at 03. This is already saying he was better than Jordan senior year of high school.
Very lying.
Right?
Very
Very.
Very, yo. Who said that in 2002 that he was better than Jordan?
Lonzo's going to have to earn it. I can see that he's special enough that he's eventually going to earn his place amongst the all-time greats, all right? I can really see.
I'm glad you believe in him.
Let me ask you this. So how much stock do you put into the Summer League? I mean, is that something that you take great stock in, or are you just saying it's just, you know, Summer League?
Well, look, if you can make it to the Summer League, you got some – I try to play basketball, all right? And, you know, and it's a lot of dudes out here who will cook me on the court who could never make it to Las Vegas to play in that Summer League. So if you could play on that type of level – you got skill, man. The difference when you make it to the pro level, honestly, is the difference between the greats and the non-greats is will and determination, sheer will and determination.
Sure.
So all them dudes there are skilled, man. All them dudes are hungry, and they want to make it in the NBA. So that's a whole different type of environment he's playing in. We can't downplay that and say, well, look, he's not playing against nobody. Look, he's playing against people who got their backs against the wall. They got nothing to lose. This is their last shot to try to get into. This is their dream that they're chasing. So, like, these dudes are hungry, and they say often, when you're hungry, that's when you're most dangerous, all right? You know, that's when somebody, you might chew off your own leg.
But I kind of disagree with that in a sense, because, let's be real, everybody else in the Summer League is playing for what their dreams are, but Alonzo Ball is playing to prove that he is who everybody thinks he is. So there is still a level of pressure there.
I
don't think you can denounce that.
No, It was Yo's. He didn't really believe in the Summer League. He was like,
I was just saying it's a Summer League.
When's the last time you had so much hype over a Summer League?
That's the whole point.
The funny thing about it is I think this is the most hype Summer League I've seen
ever,
in a long time.
Ever.
Probably since LeBron James and all them came out. So I mean, I think it's amazing, right? Because they got me up to 11 o'clock watching past 11 watching a Summer League game. Like last night, I watched every moment of the Alonzo Ball game, and he didn't disappoint.
All right, we're gonna make that the last word for the segment, but stand by. NWA Sports Report will continue with Mayweather versus McGregor. Oh God, baseball All-Star Game. Oh Lord, NFL contracts. That's interesting. And Dallas Cowboys, the most valuable sports team. That's one of Dre's teams. All right, we're going to take...
Drake got five in the top ten.
We're going to take...
So anyway, baby, you might win.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. NWA Sports Report continues. Stay tuned. NWA Sports Report, all the usual suspects, Uncle Perry, El Crawfo, Blanc, Dr. Dre, Cravante, and Larry Mosa.
Hello.
All on board. Moving on, Mayweather versus McGregor.
Lord.
Is this shots fired metaphorically or literally there were shots fired at the press conference?
Metaphorically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know there's going to be shots fired in the weigh-in and press conference.
I mean, you can't read, boy.
Hilarious.
So what were the shots fired? I mean, this is the most surreal, insane. This is worse than Antonio Inoki versus Muhammad Ali back in the 70s. Don't worry about it.
This actually has me actually curious to watch the fight.
Of course it does. But you'll have some sucker pay $120 for it and then go.
What? Why?
What else you got to do?
The pay-per-view is $99.95.
So
for $19.99, you can get
put out a scene for
12 easy payments of $19.95. You can watch this.
So $100 fight from Mayweather versus Conor McGregor.
Yes.
But
you got to look. Look, the press. If you watch these press conferences, it makes you. It makes you want to see it. We actually do have.
You know, on the press tour now. So now they're. You know.
They're in Toronto tonight, right?
No, Toronto was last night.
No, they're somewhere tonight.
It was New. It was. It was L.A. Toronto, and then they're going to do one in New York.
Oh, Brooklyn's going to be
so we crazy. We have sound.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear McGregor versus Mayweather.
Oh my gosh.
Here we go.
Those bad motherfuckers said, Tank is in a fucking tracksuit. He is fucked. I can do what the fuck I want up here. If you zoom in on the pinstripe, it says, fuck you.
Because that's how long I've been kicking ass. I don't give a fuck if it's a ring. I don't give a fuck if it's an octagon. Put me in there and I'm going to kick ass.
Don't be talking shit. You do give a fuck if it's an octagon.
Well, point to the fucking easy work then. Y'all already know I ain't bitch, man. I ain't back down for no motherfucking body. I'ma knock this bitch out too. Let me show you motherfuckers what $100 million fighter look like. Still got $100 million and then he never touched this. I'm the IRS and I'ma tax your.
I'm not gonna do. You ain't gonna do.
We know you, man. That's why this bitch had to come to the boxing ring. But motherfucker. I'm a nine-figure fighter. This made $3 million his last fight. That's your ass. That's your ass. We're gonna get off in that ass. We're gonna get off in that ass. That's what we're gonna do. That's right. Sit quiet, you little bitch.
31.
And
F-bombs.
And we wasn't done.
Not only were we not done, but it was also a part of the clip where Conor McGregor calls him a boy and says dance boy
and said he can't read neither.
Ooh. Yeah, so it got so really
he got on his, it got real
interesting.
A little racism.
I've never seen and we've seen Floyd Mayweather this animated, but for all this putting on the flag and Boyston walking around and putting the hands in the face, I've never seen. This is a spectacle of the spectacles of what if he loses this fight.
No, but he did do this once before, and that was the leading up to the Arturo Gotti fight, where
when he fought Gotti,
yeah, him and Gotti actually got into a shouting match and learned.
Interesting.
And Floyd said he ended it like this. He said, "I'm going to whoop this boy." And he gave Gotti one of the worst beatings I've seen by a boxer.
But that was subtle. Look at all this.
No, he was actually. I mean, if you go back and
you talking about Gotti who fought. Years ago.
Yeah, years ago. Yeah, oh, wow. when he beat him, I think he beat him.
It was early in Floyd's career. I mean, it was early, but he beat him
and he punished him.
Yeah, no, Gotti, right? No, and Gotti was one of the tough guys in boxing.
It's crazy because you got Triple G, and I forget who Triple G fights.
Triple G, Canelo,
in September. That's a boxing event. Yeah. And then it's hard to look at Mayweather and not a boxing event, but it's in a boxing event, but it's more so based off the spectacle and the show to see if Conor McGregor can even box or what the heck is going to happen, who's going to win. It's just like and to come out of retirement, like you were baited to a degree.
You
were totally baited to come out of retirement. To come out of retirement and do this is kind of like
to fight Conor McGregor.
Floyd.
This is dumb.
I'm going to say it like this. You know, I missed out on one payday opportunity by not putting the money on Jeff Horn when he fought Pacquiao. I will not miss this chance to put it to come up big because I know that the odds against Floyd is going to be Floyd's favor is going to be unbelievable.
Floyd,
so
I want to say it's like eight. I want to say it's at 8 right now.
Yeah, it's at 8.
8-1?
Where can I
just 8-1?
Anybody that's streaming live
should be 80-1.
It's probably going to grow. It's probably going to grow even more. And the crazy thing about it is you can make money just by putting about $100 or $200.
Yo, I'm with you. I'm going to put a couple on it.
I'm telling you, because Jeff Horn, I mean, I think people made out. It was something serious. Like, I think if you put, like, I think it was something like $100, you might have won, like, 3 or 4 stacks or something like that.
Yeah, wow.
You want a great deal of cash.
I need to figure out how that works. That's what I want to know.
Vegas odds, baby.
Yeah, about to say this.
Anybody doing a stream live party? Stream free party?
I'm sure a lot of people are.
Because I'm not buying.
Why would you pay for this fight?
I'm going to wake up and watch sports.
But it's kind of interesting that they're really promoting this fight. Like, really, I mean, not interested they're promoting it hard, but it's kind of different, like, you know, the atmosphere than it was for the Pacquiao fight. Because, you know, the Pacquiao fight, I mean, don't get me wrong, it has some hype building up.
But we waited years in the making
because we waited so long. This is happening in August.
But not only that, but I think I feel like, you know, McGregor is an international superstar, and this is what he normally does, you know, during his UFC, his fight press conference, where he really, you know, goes in and really antagonizes the person. So, and Floyd, you know, he talks trash.
So who's in whose world?
Let me ask you all this, because I don't watch AMA or whatever it's called.
What is UFC, it? MMA,
UFC.
But yeah, I'm not in.
What letters were those, y'all?
AMA.
MMA.
Mixed martial arts.
Just the morning times. AM.
Good Morning America. I don't watch mixed martial arts or whatever. MMA.
What a tongue twister.
So I mean, what is, you know, I know that in his sport, McGregor is supposed to be the man, right?
Yes.
But is he even have? Does he even have the hand speed to be able to compete in any way with Floyd Mayweather?
I think
I know he's tough and he can, you know.
Isn't it martial arts, right? That's his his forte, his thing. Yeah.
So his hand speed.
I don't think he has the speed, but he definitely has the power. And if he does, if he does actually catch Floyd, it could be trouble for him.
The interesting thing about it is we don't know. He's not a boxer. So there's a difference between, so going into a normal fight, we would be able to say, like when you, like Thurman and then Garcia. Garcia is a fighter's fighter. We know he's all for the punches. We know Thurman's good for power. So you know what to dissect and what not to dissect. We don't know what to dissect about McGregor till we get
to
the fight.
There ain't no elbow smashes, no flying drop
kicks. No climbing the fences.
I think the hardest part of his training was to not do that stuff.
Right.
I'm just scared he's going to slip up somewhere. Like Floyd, you know, Floyd talks smack in the ring too.
No blows.
I'm scared he going to step out of character and they about to kill this.
Belly to back suplex him, yo. Just,
I mean,
like,
there's a video of him training.
How many low blows? How many pin points they going to take? I mean, neck.
And he has to stand upright the entire time.
Right.
It's going to be tough to see.
But the guy, I mean, he's knocked somebody out on his back foot. He was backpedaling and knocked somebody out. So we've seen that he has knockout power, but the biggest thing I feel like is the whole fight is business, because this is like the biggest purse that he has ever seen in his life.
What?
And Floyd is making, who knows?
Because Floyd is making $400 million.
See,
off of this.
That's crazy. And then on top of that,
and
it's
McGregor's
just
making $125 million.
It's good for combat sports as a whole, because you have somebody in. Not good for boxing, but really good for the UFC. You see Dana White eating this up right now. Like, he's in the background cheesing because he knows that after this, Conor McGregor is going to bring so much traffic to the UFC just off of this fight that who knows what the future holds for them.
And he's probably going to sucker some boxer into going actually into the octagon and
get dealt with.
Oh, my gosh. That's probably the next thing. You know, what's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. You even heard Floyd saying it. He was like, I could fight anywhere.
Well,
but
look.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what will not ever happen.
Why do mine?
Floyd in the octagon. That's never happened.
After this, legit.
It should have been
that.
Done. He should never came back for nonsense.
I mean, I'm not going to turn out for him. But, I mean,
he kind of needs his money.
I don't think Floyd needs the money.
He does.
But do you realize Floyd has checks that he hasn't even cashed yet? Like $100 million.
I was allegedly. You know how many years worth of taxes that he hasn't paid? The IRS is going to take at least 40%.
Well, no. He just paid it. Like after that video came out, report came out that he didn't pay the IRS. Floyd went on and showed the video. I think it was on Instagram, and he paid IRS and cash. So,
why couldn't you just pay him all the
while?
Sometimes
nobody likes paying IRS.
When you got money like that, I mean, some people, there's a lot of stars, celebrities who haven't paid the IRS.
You defend him to the degree, man. And look what happened to William Fine Fresh out of his taxes.
You got it. So why you get caught up with those folks? Those are the people you don't want to get with. Little Joe or regular person, all right, you can get them out of here, but the IRS, don't mess with them.
If I see the IRS in my mailbox, the first thing I'm doing, my heart is dropping.
I'm glad he did. I wasn't aware that he did, but I'm glad. But don't mess with those people.
Hey, Sean, why every time I think of this, I don't know about y'all, but every time I think of this fight, I just have visions. It's so funny because I have visions of Mike Tyson just biting Holyfield's ear off.
Oh, God.
You don't get one of those.
Because this could turn into, what you say? Wah, bam.
I think Floyd's going to beat him, and he's going to beat him bad. I think it's not going to be, you know.
Not no bloodbath.
I don't think it's going to be close either.
I think.
I agree.
I mean, I think maybe McGregor might get a couple of lucky shots and people are really going to, you know, stand up and start screaming. But I think,
because if you look at Floyd.
I think what he's going to see, I think what McGregor is going to find, I think Floyd's defense is going to blow his mind.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It's trying to hit him is like.
It's hard.
Yeah. There's no kick in boxing. There's no flying knee drop in boxing. Yo, you got to deal with them hands, and that cat's hands is crazy, and he ain't going. I'll be real with you. I think if Floyd wanted to, I don't think Conor McGregor could hit him. Actually,
I think so too.
I don't think he could. If he really wanted to, I don't think he could hit him.
I don't think he can.
I agree. I agree.
Especially Blanc, you were gonna say something.
I mean, the type of fighter that Floyd is, like, he welcomes Conor McGregor because Conor McGregor is gonna come out brawling or try to brawl. And Floyd's just going to move around, duck, and I feel like he could potentially knock him out because
Floyd said in the first press conference, he said, "I'm going to knock you out."
And also, if you look at the press conference, loosely McGregor is getting to Floyd, and that's something you don't usually see.
No, I can hear it.
Like, he's getting to
but
Floyd.
Also, I'm more, you know, in the UFC fights, I mean, you don't go 12 rounds.
No,
in a box match. I mean, you barely go
Let's ask Holly. Shoot.
Like, what's the average?
I want to say this about 3 rounds, 2 minutes.
Something like that. Uncle Perry, what do you think? I mean, what do you think about this?
Did you intentionally leave me on hold?
I didn't. I'm not at the controls, Perry. It's not me. It's not me.
I think you did that on purpose. But not knowing that Floyd Mayweather for Arturo Gotti. I thought you were supposed to be involved.
Crawford did. He checked me on that. I'm gonna give you the next 2 minutes, Perry, since you were locked out by some mishap.
I knew something was up. Yeah. First of all, we all know this is just a clown show, pretty much. And I'm glad that they're giving us all that we want. Going to press conferences because that's all the pizzazz we're going to get out of this fight. He's going to treat the fight like he treats every fight. Every fight, the funny thing is that Crawford, you brought up that Arturo Gotti fight because that's probably the last time I can remember Floyd Mayweather fighting with such an aggressive style, you know, putting on a show for the people because, I mean, he put on a show.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, he beat Cuz down, you know, and I don't see him doing that with McGregor. I do see him knocking McGregor out because I think McGregor's going to be reckless. Either McGregor's going to get knocked out because he's going to be so reckless, he's going to get himself disqualified because he's going to be so reckless, or he's going to cower like every other boxer does once they get in front of him. They realize that this dude is so fast, man, and he keeps punching me in my face before I can even blink. Exactly. It's never hard. It's never like hard punches where you're going to get knocked out on the canvas, but them things hurt. And they add up. You just keep getting hit, bop, 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 quick. You can't even see it coming. They add up over the time, and it frustrates you, man.
Very with his own sound.
He's going to get frustrated, disqualified. He's going to get frustrated. He's going to start trying to be too aggressive, and he's going to walk right into a counter punch. Or he's going to cower, and he's going to stay on the outside, and Floyd's going to win the fight by decision like he always does. But, I mean, I'm glad they're giving us a show. It's almost like wrestling. Like we watching.
I agree.
Devil's advocate, people. McGregor wins.
No.
Just in case.
Man,
you never know.
I'm going to put 100 on it just in case.
No, I'm going to have that. You know,
I was going to say.
That's shameful.
We got to go to do this because I'm on that train.
You're just left in awe that the fact that this came to this to actually happen. You thought it was funny. We thought it was ha, ha, ha. And for people to actually come together, distribute money, get it. Going on, they going on a world tour. How many albums they got?
Yep.
And it just seemed like,
you know what this reminds me of? The election. We all thought this Trump thing was all fun and games.
We thought it was fun and games until you woke up at 2-3 a.m. and you saw the fact that Donald Trump is now president.
Can't take,
because everybody went to sleep like, oh, Hillary got it, because look at, she got 160 electoral votes, blah blah blah. He got Florida. Oh Lord, I ain't never going to Miami again.
The crazy thing is, he kind of had it in the bag the whole time. with the electoral votes. Because well, now if we go to the popular
people
vote,
like
it's a little bit different. But the electoral votes, he kind of had it though.
The right people like
that's
them.
That's actually true.
You go out and vote, America. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know about y'all. I don't know about y'all, but as soon as Bernie Sanders lost the primaries, I
said, that's it. I'm out of here.
Surprised at all.
I ain't even a Democrat no more. I can't. Forget the liberals.
Yeah, Bernie definitely.
Burn the liberals.
He definitely, him losing definitely had a fraction.
Yeah, no
we are not
about
liberal
it.
Anymore.
Well, okay, then, but on that note, on Cervantes' note, I'm going to put $100 on Conor McGregor.
I'm trying to tell y'all, this is a setup for the most tragic spectacle ever.
I'll take that. I can lose $100. But I can't lose. I can't lose 50,000.
There's few things in life that's guaranteed, man.
Floyd
Mayweather winning is one of them.
There we go.
and also good guarantee. Andre will have multiple teams and multiple leagues.
You know,
facts.
You know what, yo?
Facts. Yeah.
The fight is August 26th, right?
You know,
that's right around my birth. If you want to throw away $100 for a birthday gift, okay? I'll put it to good use. You know,
I know you will. I already know what it is. Starts with H, ends with Hennessy.
So while we at it, look.
You know?
My birthday Sunday. Help me out.
Yeah.
Help me.
Let's skip over baseball and go right to NFL contracts because I hate the Orioles right now.
They're going to blow it up.
Fair
enough.
Funny.
They're going to blow that team up.
Fair enough.
They probably should.
Fair enough.
They're going to blow it up.
So. Contracts, potential lockout in 2020. Not now. Not when the Raiders are on the edge of doing the thing. Who was saying there should be a lockout? Richard Sherman,
the corporal of the NFL.
First thing, I think it was Terrence Knightington was
Pot Roast.
Yeah, was on Twitter. In all of the contract that Otto Porter got of $100 million and he's a role player.
When I saw that, I thought about you, Carl, because you're like, Otto Porter?
Is he the one Otto Porter to stay in D.C.?
Otto Porter?
It's a joke. Poor John Wall, but.
He said he was humble.
But no, so Terrence Knighton was saying that, you know, he couldn't believe that a lot of role players are getting paid as much as, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, even Derek Carr. You know, they're right in on par with them. And so Richard Sherman said, well, if players are really serious about, you know, about making money, that we have to brace ourselves for a real lockout. So, I mean, as you can see, the lockout, I mean, the NFL is coming up soon. So it's something bears watching that, you know, NFL players really put their foot down and come together and really lock out.
I think with the NFL, it's a matter of cycles.
Differently.
We had now all the quarterbacks are getting the money, and they're getting the money they deserve, quote unquote. Next year, you never know. You're going to start looking at these Amari Coopers, and you got to start looking at wide receivers. It's their turn. It's never a definitive collective effort for everybody to get paid across the board. It's uncanny because of such the business that the NFL is.
But Ramos, what I would say is, I mean, you're playing a sport that has probably the lowest shelf life. I mean, you know, the average career is probably
three to four years.
So you would think that would be the highest guarantee, you know, money.
And then let's not forget, and I hate to bring this up because he was one of us, but let us not forget the tail that was Albert Haynesworth. And I give you all that money. And I give you all that money, you stink up the joint.
I mean, you're talking about that, but what about the rookie contracts with the previous CBA? When they were giving rookies all this ridiculous amount of guaranteed money.
Go ahead, Sam. Go ahead,
if Terrence Knighton wants NBA money, he's got to lose weight and join the NBA. Seriously, though, look at this. All right,
facts.
How could you want to compare your salary or your money to the NBA in the NFL? There's 53 players to a team.
Right.
In the NBA,
totally
the most you got is 15 players. Right. Most teams carry 12, all right? Mm-hmm. Okay, they play 82 games a season. The NFL play 16 games. Okay, so the money's never going to add up.
It's two different things.
But Perry, you also got to think of it like this. I mean, the numbers suggest that the NFL franchises make way more money than the NBA franchises.
But it's
true.
Also
your
caliber of
and
work,
now,
though.
As you know, Dre put up as one of the rundown, he had
but
the Forbes list.
Dallas expenses, there's more operational
men,
expenses.
Yeah,
though.
But Dallas Cowboys are the most viable sports team. You know, I mean, so for you to be a viable sports team, you're making – you know, close to into the billions, you can afford those.
But what's
those.
Your worth, though? Because if I'm a guy like, for instance, if I'm a guy like, I can't get the name right now. come back to me.
But Ramos, what I would say is, I mean, it doesn't have to be something outlandish as, you know, a Brandon Crawford making $100 million that's, you know, on a practice squad. We're just talking about somebody that gets a 5-year, $25 million contract, and at least $20 million of it is guaranteed. I mean, you got a lot of NFL players who, you know, in the press clippings, you'll see, oh, he makes $100 million. But when you really, like, break down the contract, like Joe Flacco.
How much is it really?
How much is he really making? Joe Flacco, I think, and Perry can help me out with the numbers. Joe, I think he's making, Perry, about 50 or 60.
But if I'm a guy, like J.J. Watt, though, and I'm really, truly valuable to my team, and I can't.
He's making, I mean, he signed a $100 million contract, but he's only, you know, really technically going to see 50 of it. It's probably another $40 million on that contract that he'll never see.
Because by that time, they would have restructured and he would have signed at least another extension. So that contract would be gone. We got a whole new thing going on.
But not only that, but they probably got things in his contract where, you know, sack performances. He's not going to get 20 sack games, 20 sack seasons, and, you know, and he's 38, 36, 35. So, I mean, this, like, NFLs are really getting – players are getting ripped off with their contracts.
Oh, yeah. But they've been
ripped off.
But
the thing
forever.
Is, are they willing to hold out to do it?
And that's what Richard Sherman
exactly, yeah, what he said. And I don't think the players are willing to do it.
They're different leagues, and it's a different structure. And the NBA is – they've gone a different path as far as legality and contracts are concerned.
Yeah, because the NBA players aren't scared of the owners as opposed to, like, the NFL, where
I don't think it's that cut dry, though. I don't think it's that cut
dry. No, you're right. It's not that cut dry.
I think the NFL is making about $10, $11 billion annually. Okay, it means a lot of money, but again, it's 53 men per team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a lot of players to divvy the money up.
Yeah, but with the contract, not everybody's getting paid a big amount.
I will say this. I'm with Crawford on the guaranteed money. If they want to try to, they want to fight over guaranteed money, that's worth a lockout.
Yeah.
But if you think you're thinking the role players of a 53-man roster is going to end up making $100 million quarter making the NBA, it's never going to happen. It's never going to add up.
Right. I will say this. When you had that last lockout in the NBA, you saw how players in the NFL don't speak up until it directly infects them. And then we got to talk about contracts and all type of negotiations and what the NFL is doing and how you feel cheated about it. But when you had all that lockout in the NBA, the Players Association, every player, I mean, you go back to Derek Fisher, everybody played an integral part. You saw them going back. You saw Melo and all them going to the meetings in New York. You saw them playing an integral part in that.
But not only that, Ramos, I also think, I'm sorry to cut you off, but not only that, but I think the NBA, you actually saw them go on world tours where they went from state to state playing in these good leagues. So, I mean, and they were making, you know, I mean, I know they probably weren't making the same money they was making in the NFL, but they were getting those leagues, you know, a lot of money going on. NFL doesn't have any of that.
I mean, you had Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Melo. They came here to Morgan, I mean, for example.
It's so easy for them to do because – all they got to do, they go to any basketball court at any university. We can't just get 11 people together, 11 on 11 going, or 7 on 7 going. It's so much more because it's so much more with football and so many more players. It's harder.
And then what Uncle Perry said, I mean, a 12-man roster as opposed to a 53-man roster. It's kind of easier to get 12 men on one accord as opposed to 53.
But why are we just now starting to talk about this when the NBA started to get the mega contracts? Baseball been getting this type of money for years.
Richard Sherman said it was baseball and the NBA. They've been doing it the right way. He said the NFL, we got to get on board.
Yo, yes. I know the show's coming to an end, but I mean, I know you jinxed.
So my season is.
You jinxed my Oreos.
I didn't jinx anybody, Perry. I didn't jinx anybody.
I remember when the season first started, you were talking so much trash about the Yankees. Right. Now look at them, man.
Thank you, Perry.
Look at the kids.
Blame it on me.
No, it's you, man. Your fault.
It's my fault.
I try to stop it every year. You know, every time I see but
it gets earlier and earlier, right, Perry?
Yeah. You did it, man. Because look, you reverse jinxed the Yankees. You was just talking so much down on them, man. They're not gonna do nothing. They ain't not doing nothing. Now look at.
Perry. I take the blame for it. All Orioles fans, send your hate mail to me.
Oh, don't do that.
Because you gonna get it. And you like, the social media era. You gonna say I messed up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, contracts will never be even. Pyro's reaching.
Never.
All right. That's it for us.
Go Nationals.
Yes. National. But we do the book. But we do that every year too. So
there it is. That's it for the NWA. Uncle Perry, L. Crawford, Blanc, Dr. Dre, Cravante, and the since departed Ramosa.
Makes sense that she dead.
No, not like that. Departed, not
still departed. Not deceased.
All right, that's it for us. That's it for First Edition. It is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by executive producer Sean Yoes, associate producer Yorio Digizua. Our First Edition interns are Isaiah George, Wyman Jones, Alex Blanc, Valentin Davis, and stay tuned for WEAA's podcast mashup as we feature On One with Angela Rye. Angela Rye. Next, right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I am Sean Yoes. Peace.